Chapter 3 Alex Bobby and Naomi were at it again. They played it cool when Alex came back into the room, but he could tell a heated conversation had been going on while he was away. Naomi was dipping her head, letting her hair fall in front of her eyes the way she did when she was upset. Bobby's face was a shade darker than usual, flushed with excitement or anger. Alex had lived on the same small ship with Naomi for decades, and Bobby only a little less. There was almost nothing they could conceal from each other. It hurt his feelings a little that they were even trying to hide it, because that meant he had to hide it too.
"All settled up," Alex said.
Bobby nodded and drummed her fingers on the table. Naomi gave him a small smile through her hair. Alex would have put money that their argument was the same one they'd been rehashing since they'd left Freehold. Pretending like nothing was wrong was the only safe choice. A wise man doesn't get between two fighting animals, but even a dim bulb didn't step into an argument between Naomi Nagata and Bobby Draper. Not if he wanted to keep all his fingers. Metaphorically speaking, of course.
"So,"
Alex started, letting the word draw out until it became awkward.
"Yeah," Naomi answered. "I've got a lot to do before I climb back into my storage crate."
Bobby nodded, started to speak, and then stopped. In the blink of an eye, she'd crossed the distance to Naomi and swept her up in her massive arms. While the two women were close to the same height, Bobby outweighed Naomi by at least 40 kilos. It was like watching a polar bear grapple a coat rack. But it wasn't the beginning of a fight, because both women were crying and patting each other on the back.
"It was good to see you," Bobby said, hugging Naomi a little tighter and lifting her off the deck.
"I miss you," Naomi answered. "Both of you. More than I can say."
The "both of you" felt like an invitation, so Alex moved in and threw his arms around the two of them. A moment later, he was weeping too. After a while, when it felt right, they separated. Bobby wiped her eyes with a napkin, but Naomi ignored the streaks down her face. She was smiling. Alex realized it was maybe the first real smile he'd seen from her since Holden had been taken to Laconia. It made him wonder how lonely her life was now, hidden away in her cargo container, moving from ship to ship and station to station. Even though it was the choice they'd all made together, he felt a pang of guilt for leaving her alone like that. But Bobby had needed a pilot, and Naomi, in her wandering statesman role, didn't, and didn't want one.
"When will we see you again?" Bobby asked.
"I wish I knew," Naomi replied.
"You guys going to be in Seoul long?"
"Not up to me," Bobby said with a shrug. In this case, it was true, but even if it hadn't been, the answer would have been the same. You never knew who was listening. And even here, on a transport union station in the back room of an OPA sympathizer bar, the habits of secrecy died hard. As if on cue, Alex's hand terminal buzzed and alerted him. They were getting ready to transfer the Storm from its current ship to the new one. Naomi wasn't the only one living inside a high-stakes shell game.
"Boss gonna go oversee the transfer," he said to Bobby.
"I'll come with," she replied,
then grabbed Naomi for one last fierce hug.
"You stay safe, Exo."
"That's all I do nowadays,"
Naomi said with a sad grin. Leaving her behind felt wrong, the way it always did. Alex would never admit it out loud, but the gathering storm scared the shit out of him. The Rocinante was still his first love. Like a hand tool that grew to fit the shape of the hand that held it, the Rosie was comfortable, familiar, safe. For all that it was a dangerous warship, it still felt like home. It felt right. He missed it terribly. The Storm was like living inside an alien creature that was pretending to be an overpowered racing ship, and then someone had strapped a shit ton of firepower onto it. Where flying the Rossi felt like a collaboration, the ship an extension of his will, flying the Storm felt like a negotiation with a dangerous animal. Every time he sat in the pilot's chair, he worried about getting bitten. Bobby had gone over the ship with her techs from stem to stern and reassured him that there was nothing in the specs that made the Storm dangerous to her crew, or at least not more than all spaceships were dangerous to their crews. Alex remained unconvinced. There was something about using the controls that felt like the ship wasn't reacting to his inputs. It felt like the ship was interpreting them and agreeing with them, but also making its own damn decisions. The only person he'd ever confided this to was his co-pilot, Caspar Asoau. I mean, yeah, the controls feel a little loose, I guess, but not sure that means the ship is fighting back, Caspar had said, giving Alex a suspicious side-eyed glance. Alex hadn't brought it up again, but Alex had been flying spaceships for a lot of years now, and he knew what he knew. There was more to the Storm than just metal and carbon and whatever that crystal-looking shit was, even if no one else could see it. Still, it was a damn beautiful ship. Alex stood at a small observation window and watched as it was carefully moved from the open hangar bay of their old transport ship to the new one. The two massive transports flanked the Storm as it moved, and the enormous bulk of the transfer station's central hub overshadowed them both. It was all very deliberately done to block line of sight to all the known government telescope and radar stations. For all the Laconian Empire would ever know, two heavy freighters had briefly docked at the same transfer point, dropped off or picked up some cargo, and then gone their separate ways. That a stolen Laconian warship had been moved from one to the other wouldn't appear on any official records or in any video feeds, and the Storm and her crew would be free to live and fight another day, assuming they hadn't overlooked anything. The gleaming crystal and metal flanks of the ship seemed to glow with their own inner light, even in the Box Canyon shadow that two freighters in the transfer station created. Bright, white puffs of superheated gas flashed and disappeared as the maneuvering thrusters fired. Caspar would be at the controls, gently nudging the Laconian destroyer out of the open cargo bay of their old ship and into the new with practiced ease. They'd played this game a lot, and both pilots had become expert at moving the ship in very confined spaces. As a former military man, Alex was always surprised that they could actually manage to keep the conspiracy a secret. They were sneaking a stolen Imperial warship through the gate network, hidden in the bowels of transport union ships. At least dozens and maybe hundreds of people were directly involved. Somehow, they kept getting away with it. The Occam's razor argument to nearly all conspiracy theories was that people were really shitty at keeping secrets, and large groups of people were exponentially worse. But with the help of their former OPA friends in the transport union, they'd been sneaking and peeking for months without getting caught. It was a testament to how bred to insurgency the Belters had become over the last century or two. Hiding a rebellion from vastly superior military forces was in their DNA. During his 20 years as a member of the Martian Navy, and then later fighting the Free Navy, he'd had a part in hunting their more radical factions. Alex had often found the Belter capacity for subterfuge and guerrilla fighting infuriating. Now, it was literally keeping him alive. Alex wasn't sure if that was ironic or not. Funny, maybe. The Storm finished buttoning down in their new freighter. It was a cow of a cargo hauler, shaped like a fat bullet and named the Pendulum's Ark. Its doors slid shut and locked, and Alex felt a tiny tremor in the deck as they did. A pair of doors bigger than a destroyer had some mass to them. Alex pulled out his terminal and opened a channel to Bobby.
"The baby's tucked in. We can be Oscar Mike on your word."
"Copy that," Bobby said and killed the channel. She was off doing final prep with her team. Saba's chain of whispers hadn't told them what their mission in Seoul was, but Bobby kept her troops so drilled on the fundamentals that the specific mission just became a checklist of shit to get done. Alex had been skeptical when Bobby took a mixed bag of Old Guard OPA, stuffed them into Laconian Marine power armor, and said she was going to turn them into a legit covert op strike team. But damned if she hadn't done exactly that. They'd run 3 different operations with 100% success rate and a 0% casualty rate. It turned out that as formidable as Gunny Draper was, she was even scarier when you let her train her own backup. There had to have been a moment when this had become the new normal. Playing their cargo ship version of three-card Monte with the storm while Saba and Naomi and the rest of the underground picked mission targets for them. He couldn't say when it had passed. Only now he was back to being the bus driver he'd been in the MCRN a few lifetimes ago. Every day carried the risk of discovery and capture. Or death. Every operation sent Bobby and her team into the meat grinder of the Laconian Dominion. For all their successes, they were walking on the edge of a razor blade. If he'd been 20 and unaware of his own mortality, he'd probably have loved it. He turned away from the observation window and picked up his gear bag. As he walked, his terminal squawked at him. "Locked and powered down," Casper said.
"I was watching. Elegantly done. The gunny will be drilling the troops, and I'm headed that way. Ship's yours for the duration.
Copy that." The corridors of the transfer station were spare and functional, smooth taupe ceramic walls and a floor just padded enough to keep the occupants from getting shin splints in the habitat ring's 1/3 G rotation. Alex trudged along one for 0.5 kilometer, then rapped at a door marked Storage 348-001. A grizzled belter opened it a crack and looked up and down the hallway around Alex. He had gray hair in a military-style buzz cut and flat gray eyes of almost exactly the same color. Alex could see the heavy black pistol he held behind his thigh as he checked to see if the corridor was clear. His name was Takeshi Oba, and he was one of Bobby's killers.
"All clear," Alex said with a smile, and Oba let him in with a grunt.
It was an empty room of about 5 by 10 meters with the same plain ceramic walls as the corridor outside. Bobby's team was standing in loose ranks facing her as she addressed them. She gave Alex a tiny nod as he entered, but didn't stop her speech.
"Make no mistake," she was saying, "the Seoul system is the most dangerous theater we've operated in. Its threat level is second only to Laconia for our style of covert op. Nearly every rock or chunk of ice bigger than a troop transport has a station, telescope, or radar emplacement on it. There are eyes everywhere." A mutter passed through the group, but Alex couldn't tell if it was grumbling or agreement. "And," Bobby continued, "the Earth-Mars Coalition fleet is entirely under Laconian control, which means the Laconians' relatively small number of ships, the one fact that has allowed us to operate up to this point, is not going to help us here. To make matters worse, the Laconians have left the dreadnought Heart of the Tempest in orbit around Earth. It's there primarily as a threat to keep the inner planets in line, but if it detects us, we are in a world of hurt. The storm cannot survive an engagement with a Magnetar-class battleship. End of story."
"Any word yet on the target?"
Gillian Houston asked. She was the daughter of Freehold's Governor Payne Houston, and had been one of the first volunteers for Bobby's team. She was tall and rangy, with white blonde hair, the muscles and bone structure of a born earther, and a perpetual scowl line between her eyes. She'd become Bobby's unofficial second in the time they'd worked together. Alex worried about that. Gillian was mean as a snake. When he told Bobby that, she'd responded, "I just make sure she never runs out of mice." He still didn't quite know what that meant.
"No, the kids upstairs are playing this one close to the vest," Bobby said. "It's starting to feel like we'll know when we're already doing it."
"Outstanding," Gillian said.
The storm is buttoned up and we'll be heading soulward in the pendulum in 30 hours, Bobby said. Enjoy your time on Paternity Row, but make sure you're on the ship and squared away 24 hours from now, or find my foot uncomfortably up your ass. That drew a good-natured chuckle from the crowd. Dismissed. A few chaotic moments later, Bobby, Jillian, and Alex were the only three left in the room. Bobby still wore the nondescript flight suit she'd had on when they met with Naomi, but Jillian wore the black jumpsuit adopted by Bobby's strike team as its unofficial uniform. She also had a large pistol in a holster. Alex had never seen her without it. For freeholders, wearing a gun was like wearing pants.
I don't like Saba giving us the runaround on this, Jillian said. It feels like he's fucking improvising.
There could be a lot of legitimate reasons why the mission details are still being formulated, Bobby replied. Her voice was gentle but firm.
I understand your concern, but do it anyway, was implicit in it.
It has to be Callisto, Jillian continued, as if she hadn't heard the quiet warning in Bobby's tone.
Only thing worth a damn that's far enough away from that battleship to be a realistic target.
Bobby took a half-step toward her and straightened up, magnifying the size difference between the two women. Jillian stopped talking, but didn't back down at all.
Mean as a snake, and with giant brass balls, Alex thought.
That sort of speculation is unproductive, and frankly dangerous, Bobby said. Keep it to yourself. Go get a drink or five, get in a bar fight if you have to, but get it out of your system and be back at the storm tomorrow. We'll know more then. Dismissed. Jillian finally seemed to get the message. She threw Bobby a half-mocking salute and sauntered out of the room. Alex opened his mouth and Bobby pointed her finger at him. Don't fucking say it.
Copy that, he said instead. A day on station with nothing to do. Wish Naomi was hanging around. Could have done more than eat shitty kibble with her.
She's got her mission too, Bobby said. Her lips pressed thin and pale.
So, Alex said, you gonna tell me what went on between you, or am I gonna have to beat it out of you?
Caught off guard, Bobby let out a bark of laughter just the way he'd hoped she would. It was like a chihuahua threatening an office building, and Alex grinned to show he was in on the joke. Bobby sighed.
She still thinks we should negotiate our way out of this.
We disagree on that point. Same shit. Different year.
She's lost a lot, Alex said. She's afraid of losing it all.
Bobby grabbed Alex's upper arm and gave it an affectionate squeeze.
And that's the point I keep trying to make with her, my friend. In a fight like this, unless you're willing to lose everything to win, you lose it all by losing.